Good evening, everybody. Or to the nobody who is here right now, but that's fine. We are Corporate Crash Course, and we're back tonight with another episode of Vaisin Part 8. Very Christmassy Vaisin. Thank you, gang, for making us a little more festive.
Also,
appreciate that. yes, I am your Game Master, Cody. I'm joined, as always, by my friends Mike and Zoe. Great. As we continue on, you guys have been investigating? That doesn't feel like the right word.
I like hunting, personally.
Fucking around in the forest.
Hold on.
Can't even give us that.
We've been doing very vital research and information gathering to save the people.
Sure. Yeah.
All your favorite viewers here, Cody.
Yep. DSC. Thanks, Rob. Love you, buddy. Last we left, you guys were canoeing your butts off away from the Dead Islands as something... Oh, Mike is lowering Zoe's user volume.
I forgot that's live.
Trying to minimize me, Mike?
This is why we're never going to be professional. We're always going to be amateurs. That's fine.
We're here for a fun time, not a good time, you know?
That's true. Well, what? Okay.
Quality it's wise. Not
quality, yeah.
Yes.
Come on,
yeah,
Cody.
Yeah.
Mike
yeah,
gets
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
on, keep up.
All right. So you guys were barreling away from a large, possibly existential threat.
Yep.
And then it kind of shrunk back into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the plan, gang?
Oh, what is the plan?
The plan was get away.
Right, and we did that.
You did that.
We found
that
it.
True.
That was the first plan, was to find it, and we did that.
Yep.
And it was a
phase
mistake.
Phase one was successful.
Phase one was successful.
Already regret phase one.
Because phase two is figuring out.
Well, phase one almost destroyed Mike emotionally, so...
Yeah, but we're past that. He'll be fine. He's gonna shake it off, walk it out. He's fine.
He's
fine.
Walk it out, okay.
Phase two, we need to figure out how the thing that stole the mine isn't going to steal another mine.
Yeah.
How are we going to prevent mine theft?
Keep it here or get rid of it or something.
But really, is mine theft a bad thing? Is the forest, the avatar of the forest destroying the mines, clear signs of capitalism, really a bad thing?
Mike.
I'm also just saying, you guys technically aren't like you weren't you don't have like, you weren't tasked with having to stop this thing fully, right? Your task was just to figure out what the heck's going on.
Anyway,
like, maybe stop you from getting killed.
Did anybody die when it stole the mine?
No.
Not that we're aware of. We asked, and they said they didn't think anyone did.
Did anybody die when DeFalco was eating that dead guy?
I assume the dead guy.
Well, but he might have been dead from before, so the statement might still stand.
Yeah.
Like, he might not have killed anybody,
Mike.
Like, while he was eating him, but if the guy was dead before...
And that dead sheep that we saw it eat, did that die? Not a sheep. It was a bobcat.
At some point, because it was dead when he was eating it. So
this thing seems dangerous to me.
Mike, hear me out. You know what usually works for us?
Fire.
Hear me out.
Do you want to burn down the forest?
If we burn down the forest, the avatar of the forest will stop wreaking havoc because there is no forest for it to avatar on behalf of.
Also, I would like it noted that my use of the term avatar of the forest is not like a true canon thing. I'm not actually telling you. Okay, great. My throwaway line is going to make Zoe try and burn the forest down.
Hear me out. No trees, no monster. And you know how fast those babies are going to burn?
The monster, slowly, it's snowy and lake filled around here. Like,
would like
I've seen areas those videos named with the bears.
For the lakes.
Forest fires go up so fast.
In winter?
In any season.
In a lake?
I would also like to point your attention to the fact that a section of the forest on your trail up, your walk up here, was already burned.
So we just need to finish the job.
So Ingrid's been replaced by Zoe at this point?
Yeah, she did it. She did a seance. Their crystal ball, fused to their personalities.
You know what? I'm pretty sure. Can I see the future?
Zoe got pulled into the game via Jumanji style. And,
disclaimer, Zoe doesn't mess around with arson.
Only in games. Only in games.
Zoe's characters in RPGs.
Yeah, it's a weird through line of all of her characters. A therapist might have something to say about that.
She doesn't. Don't call her. My extent of fire experience is lighting the wood stove here. That's it. Because my house is heated with fire. But I haven't burned this place down.
Yet.
I will have you know.
Yet.
I'm so responsible with fire, though.
Uh-huh. But yeah, you want to burn the forest down. Okay. I'm here. I'm listening.
Was that it? Was that the end of the argument? We
should
burn down the forest?
That's the whole plan.
Yeah, that's the whole phase two idea. Phase two,
the whole thing.
Burn it down.
And how will that help? Or will it help?
No
is phase two just
no
burn it
avatar
down?
Of the forest.
But we found it on an island.
We can burn down the island.
We also found it off the island.
We can burn down that, too.
Yeah, but you know what's in between the island and off the island?
What?
A lack of forest.
Yeah, well, we'll do two arsons.
You want to burn down the forest on every island.
Okay, well, just to be safe.
How many islands are around here again, Cody?
Oh, I mean, what? It was called the 50 Island Waters is the name of the area, I guess. Plus, there's the whole mainland, on the other side of the lake.
Why don't we start with the island that the Wendigo's on now?
It's gone.
But
is it gone? It's gone, right?
It sucked back into the trees.
From where you were sitting, yes, it looks like it's gone. It, absorbed back into the canopy of the forest.
So it's absorbed into the forest, which means if we burn the forest, it's gone.
I feel like it's more of a force of nature than the forest.
And you know what's nature? The forest.
Yeah, but you know what else is nature? The water. The rocks.
I'll burn it all if I have to.
You'll burn. I will burn that lake down, so help me.
I'll do it. Yeah, launch the burning boats.
Launch the burning boat. Full of what? You know, fill them
what
with napalm or something?
What does Ghoul think of this burn down the forest plan?
Well, that's a great question. If Ghoul were here, he might tell you. My plan was basically to have you guys land at the other side of the lake, like on the shore, and he basically runs off into the forest. Like,
oh, so he's gone.
Oh, yeah. He took off as soon as he heard burn down the forest?
I mean, come on. He was clearly the most consistent NPC of the group, or PC of the group. Or most stable of the group, I guess. So, he kind of...
He was very stable.
Dude hears Arsene and he goes running?
Well, no. I mean, technically he ran before he heard the word Arsene, but sure.
But yeah, burn it down. Burn it down. Burn it down.
You're so excited over the idea of burning down the forest.
It's a little terrifying.
What does Defago think of this?
Well, so, keep in mind, it seems like he didn't see whatever you guys saw, right? You guys were basically
correct.
On the island, saw the thing stand up, start approaching you.
He's going to be anti-arson.
Or the three of you freaked the fuck out. Ran for the boat, threw it in the water, like, grabbed him, essentially, and threw him in the boat as well with everything else. And got to the other side, and he's just kind of like, so, what was that? Anybody want to tell me what's going on? I mean, I'm a little peeved, because, you know, first of all, you guys accuse me of being a Wendigo and of eating somebody, even though you have no evidence that I actually did that. And then we walk around the forest on the Den Island, tell you not to go and see spooky shit and freak out. And we come back across here and she's talking about burning down the whole forest. You know what? I have half a mind to just leave.
Can I pull Ingrid aside? I'm going to pull Ingrid aside.
I will step aside with you.
Should we be not letting Defago go back?
Citizens arrest?
Oh no, he tripped and fell into the forest before it suddenly caught on fire, and now he's dead. Oops.
Something a little more permanent.
Oh no, somebody cut his Achilles tendon so he couldn't run away while the forest was on fire.
I mean, I saw his future. He's getting arrested. For murder. Did I not tell you about
who's
that? I don't know whose. I just know he's going to trial and he's found guilty.
Is that because we let him return with the spirit of the Wendigo in him?
Ooh, it could be that. Should we burn him down?
I don't think we have to go quite that far. I can just shoot him.
So, arson not sounding like bad plan?
I'm still not sure how it helps us.
I don't know, it'll make me feel better.
I think just getting out of here will make me feel better.
Yeah, but then he's still going to get arrested for murder. And we don't know if it's like a pre-murdered man or if it's somebody new. What if it's us? What if it's me? Do you want my blood on his hands? But you just said you can't shoot him.
What do you propose?
Citizen's arrest.
As Eagle slowly stands there and bringing his gun slowly higher and higher as the conversation keeps going.
I mean, I started with citizen's arrest and you said kill him.
Well, if he's possessed by a Wendigo, one of those is more helpful than the other.
Then why can't you shoot him?
What if he's not possessed by a Wendigo?
You won't know until you do it. We know he was possessed by a Wendigo. So does the Wendigo leave and never come back? Or is it always in him, ready to flare up at any time? Like herpes.
That is exactly where I expected that comment to go.
Is Wendigo comparable to herpes?
I mean, really? Is
Or does he just need some antibiotics and it'll go away forever?
Maybe you should just ask him if it burns when he pees, and then you'll know for sure. Yep.
I want to ask Tefago what he knows about the Wendigo. Let's go back to camp. We have a camp somewhere.
Right? You do have a camp.
It's in the boat. We tore it down to bring it with us to that island.
Then let's set up camp.
Okay.
He very slowly starts pulling the things out of the boat and setting up the camp while kind of watching both of you very closely.
I'd help him, but I think it would slow him down. I think he's scared of me.
I think he should be. I'm scared of you.
What do you mean? That's such a nice little lady.
As he's, you know, getting the camp finished and whatnot, and you guys are... Because I'm assuming you did ask him a question about what he knows more about the Wendigo.
Yes.
He kind of ruffles through his bag for a second. He's like, I think maybe I've got something here or whatnot. And he pulls out a book. And the book that he pulls out is what, is 1850?
He brought a book into the wilderness?
Yeah, just a small one.
Small one? Is it a Bible?
No. He's native.
Pocket Bible?
So it is not a Bible.
The Pocket Wendigo?
Explorer's
Pocket Guide to Wendigo.
Yeah. You know those little books for hiking trails? It's like one of those, but for the Wendigo.
I need a small book. I'm trying to pick... I'm like going off on my own here, so I need to find something.
He's going off-road.
Pretty much.
He's off-script.
He was prepared for you to burn down the woods, but not for us to ask about the Wendigo.
I was.
He wanted us to burn the woods down.
Darn it, you got me.
He was trying to use reverse psychology on us when he was like, don't do it.
No, that's not going to work. No, I want to keep it consistent. Okay, it's a book of poetry. I'm gonna give up and say it's a collected work of poetry. So it's just like a very small kind of leather bound book. And he pulls like a little clearly what he was using is a bookmark out of it. And he's just like, well, I mean, you know, the tribe has stories about it. But the only, like, real writing I've seen that's been done about it so far is kind of been trying to be disseminated by this quack. So he hands you this little bookmark, which is basically like a business card. And it's just like a little, like a miniature flyer, essentially, for a pamphlet written by one Dr. Cathcart. And it is a writing called The Wendigo, Call of the Wild Personified. The back of it has some, like, has a very kind of shitty description of, like, you know, Dr. Cathcart is an expert among Native American lore. He has spent the majority of his life braving the wilds with the rugged Native Americans, and as such has been collecting their stories of folklore for years now. In his newest collection, Dr. Cathcart puts forth a definitive retelling of the Wendigo narrative from amongst the various tribes of Algonquin and Cree and other plains groups. Wherever you pick up books. He kind of looks at you as he hands it, and is just like, I don't know, I've never wanted to read it. It's probably shit.
All right, I'll read it then.
Well, I mean, no, it's just you have to go find the book. It's just a bookmark telling you the book exists.
Oh, somewhere. It's the bookmark about a book.
Yes. No, you know, you pull it out, and then the little business card unfolds.
Yeah, into a full book.
The size of a full book. Yeah, of course. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Gave you the coupon for it.
Okay, but what do you, DeFago, know about the Wendigo? You said your people have stories about it?
Yeah, well, wasn't I telling it before that it just, you know, the wild, just claims people, you know, it speaks to them, and then they become consumed by the need to wander, to experience it.
That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. And what happens once they're consumed by this?
Well, I mean, you know, the stories have always said that you don't see, you know, once somebody's claimed by it and they don't come back, you don't really hear about what happens after the fact. Some people have claimed that, you know, they those who've been taken or are found, you know, committing horribly unspeakable acts.
You don't say.
But you know, it's hard to say. Again, nobody has actually talked to a bona fide Wendigo experiencer.
Not soul, like.
Nope. Anyway, I think you guys are looking at me a little funny. I'm gonna go over there and get some more firewood. Okay.
Okay.
I think he's been claimed.
I think so too. So what do you say? We wait until he goes footless again and then burn him. Because fire solves all problems.
He was really powerful, though, when that happened.
Yeah, but who's more powerful than fire?
Water. A Wendigo.
Okay, let's recreate the night when he got taken. What did we do? We slept.
We did. He was weeping in the night.
He did cry in the night. It was dark.
Nights usually are.
Yeah. Okay, no staying up late. And that's it. Because maybe the Wendigo didn't come because we were sitting up waiting for him. You know?
The Wendigo did come.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
It called to me.
Yeah, but not for him.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're trying to get him possessed again? No, that's a great plan. I'm 100% on board for this plan.
Or, like, maybe instead of setting him on fire, we go in with, like, a wooden stake. Right through the heart.
What, you think he's a freaking vampire or something?
I don't know how Wendigos work. And maybe then I'll set the wooden stake on fire.
You know.
That makes sense. Okay.
Try and make him cry again. That'll do it.
I think we need to rest here tonight and leave tomorrow.
Leave? Fine.
The disappointment that you don't get to burn the place down.
Mm-hmm. So DeFogger doesn't really want to talk much to you guys anymore, obviously. He sits around the fire and he's drinking some more of the second bottle of whiskey that he brought.
He brought more?
Hey, DeFogger, how do you kill a Wendigo?
Well, I mean, some people think that you can only do it by stabbing it through the heart with something silver.
Silver?
Yeah, something that some people think that won't even be enough to do it. After you stab it with the silver, some people think you gotta, you know, carve the heart out and then encase it in more silver and you gotta hack the body up and put it everywhere. Those are all just stories.
I am going to turn in.
All right.
I will turn in after DeFogo turns in.
You guys turn in and fall asleep. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But about an hour after turn into what? Yeah, exactly. It turned into Wendigos, Hillary. That's what happened. So about an hour later, you hear sobbing from out near the fire.
It's happening.
She jumps up excited like it's Christmas morning.
I peek outside. Is it DeFargo?
It is DeFargo. He is staring into the fire. He has this half-finished bottle of whiskey in his hand. The firelight, reflecting off of him and filtering through the half-empty bottle. And he takes a swig and kind of, rubs his hand against his face. The two of you just watching.
I'm gonna raise my rifle.
A Okay.
And watch.
Also gonna watch.
5 minutes, nothing really changes. He just kind of sobs every kind of now and then, drinks more. He finishes about 2/3 of the bottle, we'll say, and then proceeds to just kind of get up and mutter something along the lines of, like, it's too late or something, or it's over. And he proceeds to take a shovel, I guess, and shovel a bunch of snow onto the fire to put it out. You hear it kind of sizzle as the snow hits the burning logs. And then you hear him kind of smack the shovel back down into the snowy ground, and you hear his boots crunch as he walks back over to the tent.
He might just be regular sad and not Wendigo sad. I sniff the air.
You don't smell anything. Is Wendigo sad a level of sadness we have now?
Yep. It's not Wendigo, he's Depresso.
He's got boots. Yes, he's got boots. He's got feet. He's normal.
People without feet can have boots.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're also normal.
So you guys still just, like, basically hanging out at the door of the tent when he comes back?
Nah, I'm gonna pretend to sleep before he gets to the tent. I don't know what
he's
doing. Okay. Yes, seeing you, yes, he kind of stops right near the door. He's just kind of like, what? So what, you don't trust me now?
No.
Look, man, just because I've done bad things before doesn't mean that, like, I'm gonna do them again, or I shouldn't be trusted or anything, right?
He admits to the bad thing.
You know, you don't know what it's like when you don't know what it's like being trapped, and like hating every part of your life and what you thought was supposed to be the best parts of it. And. And you know what? I can't hold on to the burden myself anymore. So fine, you know what? I did it. I killed her, and I ate her, because as soon as I killed her, I was just consumed by the hunger and the need to escape and be free with the wild and such. And I did, and then I buried her. And nobody found out, and nobody's gonna find out, because how would they find out? She's buried anywhere in the vast wilderness. And even if somebody did find her, who's gonna know or care? It doesn't matter to anybody. I said, you know, she fell off a cliff when we were out hiking, and everybody believed me and felt bad for me because I, you know, was the grieving husband and whatnot. But it's fine. I can live with it.
He killed his wife.
Does Ingrid sit up and shout this?
Yeah.
So, like, man, fine. You do what you need to do. If you need to shoot me to make yourself feel better, whatever. But I swear I ain't never hurt nobody outside of that time. Okay? Now, I would do it again if I were trapped to the same. But I never wanted to experience something so horribly hopeless.
Again? Don't just leave!
Well, fine. Maybe I will then. And he just, like, turns and starts walking off into the forest.
Now, Jigil.
All right, I'll shoot him.
Okay. Roll.
He's leaving.
You shoot him in the back.
Oh my That's god! Cool. Why? Yeah, no, I know. It's okay. I wait for him to turn his back to me, and then I'll shoot him.
All right, you're going to use ranged combat.
Yep.
I swear to God, Goaty, if he shoots him and then he turns into a Wendigo. Is it the moose again?
Well, I got one success.
Yeah, one? Well, you should also get an extra die because Zoe's there and I'm assuming helping you.
I'm guiding him. Shoot that man.
Jostling his arm. Do it! Yeah. Do it!
One.
Yeah. The gunshot echoes through the empty forest. And you hear something slump into the snow.
Better not be cool.
The muzzle flash, like in the muzzle flash, you think you saw him get hit, and you think that the sound of the thump sounds like about where he was standing. Or, well,
I'm gonna run over.
Okay, you run over, and you find a man with a large hole in his back. Now,
is the man we thought it was?
Bloody. The gunshot has gone, or the bullet, I guess, has. Because did we ever establish your right? You have a repeater rifle, right? It's not a musket or anything.
It's not a musket.
I believe that is the case.
Okay, so yeah, the bullet basically ripped through his midsection. You see it kind of like there's a smallish hole in his back, and then a bigger section blown out on the front side where it obviously has exploded up from his abdomen. The snow all around him is turning red. Bits of his intestine and such are kind of falling out of the wound. As you approach, his eyes are wide open. It sounds and looks like he's trying to breathe, and his hands are seeming to try and clutch in agony and in an impotent kind of way to try and close the wound on the front of his body.
I'll put him out of his misery.
Ooh, we're gonna coup d'etat him right here, Mike.
But he's wounded.
Okay.
Instead he's of dying. Him,
you're shooting him in the face. Him.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeller.
Great. I'm assuming you kind of came up and tried to kind of roll him over to make sure that you saw how he was looking. As he was trying to kind of close the gash on his front, he kind of looks at you. And it's right as you hold the gun up and pull the trigger, you see his eyes kind of realize what is going on. And then the bullet enters and causes the back of his head to explode. There is now a great big splatter, an arc of blood out behind the head, and bits of brain and bone litter the snow.
Hey, Eagle, I kind of forgot about something, but he was on our way home. Do we know how to get back?
Do I remember how to get back? I remember where the canoe is.
We kind of maybe shot ourselves in the foot on this one.
That we marked the trail as we came up.
You did. Yeah. You did. So the only issue with remembering might be, could you make the paddle back?
Yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
Towards town.
If we can find Ghoul, we probably can.
Ghoul probably knows how to get back.
Unless we need to shoot him too.
Ghoul came out of the forest. He's probably got no fucking clue what you guys need.
Yeah, He's got to get to this island somehow. And honestly, he's our only hope.
Well, no, we just go back to where we left the canoe, and we paddle. Did we paddle upstream? I think we paddled upstream to get
you
here.
You did paddle upstream.
Yeah, so we just paddle back down. Yep. It's easier to paddle downstream than up.
As you stand...
Him, I'm going to have to paddle too.
As you stand over the body, you feel that it's starting to snow. And somewhere far off in the distance, you think you hear what sounds like a roar made out of rock fall breeze. It's not loud, it's not close, it sounds far.
I'm gonna go back to the tent.
Okay. I'll go back to it. What do we do with our little pal here now? We just gonna leave him in the snow?
I wouldn't know anything about... Which tribe was he from?
He was... I mean, you never asked him.
Well, fair enough.
And it's not like you two are from the area, so you're not super familiar with tribes of Southern Ontario.
Yeah. I mean, he killed his wife, so he's probably not gonna be welcomed after death, you know?
Yeah, we should still probably bury him properly.
But why? Because you're a Christian? Because you think everybody needs to be buried? Because all Christians need to be buried?
I was going to say, where are we from again? Finland?
You're from Sweden. That's a very colonialist attitude of you there, Mike.
Yes, it is.
This man deserves a Christian burial.
Burn the body.
I don't know what is what would I have done back in Sweden?
Hopefully not kill the man.
I'm also being kind of a jerk because I can. would have, I feel like Sweden in
if
the
it
18...
was Chris, actually I can't see Egil doing Christian rites.
If it's Sweden in the 1850s, I feel like it would be Christian.
That does feel right. You know
Christianity
what
came
do?
To Sweden as early as the 9th century. Though there is a possibility that from Sweden, some of you guys could have still held on to Norse religion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to put him out in the morning. I'll put him on a boat or something and set him adrift. In the lake.
Where? Towards the islands?
Yeah.
You're going to put him back on your only boat?
No. I'll
find Ghoul's boat.
Ghoul didn't have a boat!
Ain't no way
he
swam to
this
island.
I
want to
find like a fallen log or something.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. So you're gonna spend some time in
the
lake.
You see it flip over. He's under the water.
Yeah. I'll spend the time.
Actually making a little
boat. He had a hatchet, too. The father did. I'll use his hatchet if I need to. If I have to, I'll spend the day chopping down a tree.
Yeah, it's grueling work because it is winter. The tree is very tough because it is basically frozen on the inside. But you spend the day and you are able to fell one of the trees, kind of carve out the middle section of it, bring it down to the water. By now, Defago's body has fully kind of gone into rigor mortis and is very cold because of the snow. Pick it up, and you're able to bring it down and put it into the boat. And you're just going to kind of kick it into the lake?
Ingrid?
Fire?
Yes.
I light the flame.
All right. It's taken all day to go about this process. So the sun is starting to set, and are you lighting him before you push the boat into the water, or is this a douse him in fuel and then light him after?
No.
Okay. Do you light him, and the flame very quickly spreads across the whole of the canoe, and as you push it into the water, and the sun is setting, the burning effigy is traveling across the lake surrounding, or part of the lake surrounding 50 island waters. Do you guys are you guys going to stand and watch it?
No.
Okay.
At least I'm not.
Kind of slowly travels into the middle of the lake eventually. You got to turn and walk back. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. What are you guys going to do now? It's dark. You're back at camp.
Done.
Just two of you.
Keep an eye out for Ghoul. There's still something out here.
No, Ghoul does not show back up, and the night otherwise is uneventful. You wake up in the morning, it is, there's a new blanket of snow. As you exit the tent, you even realize it's covered the grisly scene from where your compatriot was gunned down in the middle of the forest.
Project.
All right, let's pack up and head back.
I help pack up.
All right. So it's a day traveling back. I will say it's not actually difficult necessarily to find your way back. Seeing as, yes, you kind of remember the marks for where the boat was initially kept, you're able to find where you guys had first kind of moored into this section of land heading on up to the lakes. And you put the boat back in, you paddle yourselves downstream, back towards Lake Huron, and back towards Bruce Mines. Get out a little before then and hike 2 hours back to town. And the sun is starting to set as you enter Bruce Mines again. You guys have been gone for a week?
I think so.
A little more than a week. So what do you want to do? I say that mostly also just because, enough time has passed that, everybody kind of, as you walk back into town, people kind of, turn to you with, a look of, recognizing you, but not necessarily, knowing where you went or why they kind of care. Everybody just kind of... You kind of, sink back into existence of the town.
How did we get up here again? We had a carriage ride?
You did. You had a carriage ride all the way from...
the horse's name was Charles.
From Haliburton, I believe, where the train had taken you from Toronto.
I don't remember the man's name, but horse was Charlie.
I think that was in Toronto.
That was in Toronto.
I don't care. It's the only one I remember.
Every horse is named Charlie. Charles. There was an inn or... Was there an inn or something? Am I misremembering?
No, you guys had, had secured a cabin through... Basically, the company manager for the town.
Jago.
Well, yep. Jago had put you in touch with the town manager is a woman named Lori Pateri.
Jago lives at 123 Fake Street.
Yes. It's hard to find, though, because there's no street signs anywhere.
I want to find Lori.
Yeah, okay. It's very easy. The town, the management building is right in the center of town. So you find it easily. You catch Lori just as she's kind of looking like she's starting to lock up for the night. Kind of like, yeah, you guys are back. I mean, we didn't really know when to expect you back, but glad to see you're still okay. How'd everything go?
We're going to need transport back to, I want to say Gravenhurst. That's not right, is it?
It was Halliburton.
Halliburton, that was it.
Gravenhurst here. Gravenhurst. Trapping and logging area.
Yeah.
What's been going on in the area?
Well, we don't really.
Gravenhurst.
Well, was Gravenhurst?
At least according to my notes.
Yep.
Maybe. That's where we met the king of the forest.
Yes.
Yeah, the giant moose was there.
She kind of looks just like, well, I mean, we don't have any carts going that way again for a bit. Maybe you know, right? I don't actually know when the next cart is. It's kind of my nice way of saying that there's nothing planned, you know. Maybe try and get in touch with your people. I don't know. I don't really know who sent you or anything like that again.
Sure, we'll send a letter with the next cart.
Well, I see what you're doing there. I see what you're. No, you see that. Oh, shit. Yeah, there's no way I can get around this. Fine. okay.
Back yourself into that corner.
Oh, whatever. The next cart heading south is going tomorrow morning. It's not gonna take you all the way down to Gravenhurst if that's where you're trying to go, but I'm sure you could catch a ride from there on if that's what you guys need.
We do.
Great. Okay. You guys still in need of that cabin for tonight, I assume?
Yep.
Alright. And she kind of like unlocks the door and goes back in, get the key, goes back in. She's like, it's the same one. Pretty sure it still smells like you guys when you left.
Odd.
Anyway. Yeah, you still got your cabin.
Weird folk up here. This Canada place.
Okay. Next morning. Is there anything you guys wanted to do in particular, or are we just going to basically skip through?
Yeah, I'm happy to head back.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So, nothing else really specifically happens. Maybe as you guys kind of wake up and are loading up into the car. Jago kind of jogs up to the two of you and just kind of like, yeah, I'm glad to see you guys are okay. I got a job working in one of the other mines, so, you know, no hard feelings about not being able to get the mine back. I was just kidding. Nothing really to worry about. But seriously, I hope the two of you, you know, enjoy your lives or something.
But should we give them the location of the mine in case he wants to go pick it up and bring it back?
No. You don't want anyone going up there.
Right. Yellow would prevent people from going up there?
Fire. Telling them to go get their mine? Oh, fire. Sure, yeah, light this town on fire, then they can't go further up to the...
No, I meant where the mine is. My God.
I mean, it's 1850.
I'm not insane. I'm not going to set the city on fire.
A city is a is a stretch.
It's barely a trading
I'm
post.
Using the term loosely.
Okay. And the ride down, so you end up needing to transfer twice. Takes you about 2 days to get back to Gravenhurst. And you're able to hop the train, get you then down to Toronto the next day. About a 3-day trip home. Yeah. And you get back into Toronto. Did you guys ride ahead or are you just coming back?
I was just going back.
Yeah.
Cool. Then there's nobody waiting for you.
Really Eagle's strong suit.
Yeah, then there's nobody waiting for you. I'm assuming you basically then kind of get a taxi from the train station back up to Montgomery's Inn. Towards the end of the fourth day, it is now dark, nighttime, and you're back at your inn. The taxi driver helps kind of take your belongings out of the car, and you see, as you do, Ingrid, you think out of the corner of your eye, you swore that horse that was driving you was wearing a mustache a second ago. Looking at him now, it's hard to tell. That is a dashing horse, and he no longer seems to have a mustache.
Keep my eye on that horse.
Probably a vazen.
As you say that, you could swear he just kind of nays like a. And then the driver hops back up, and you know. Gives them a nudge on the reins, and they start moving off. You're now both standing outside of your inn.
I'm going to go in and go to bed.
All right. You open the door, and as you do, and you walk in, you hear what sounds like somebody upstairs basically like fall out of their bed and then come running down the stairs, and suddenly you see Algo Frisk standing there just kind of being like, what are you guys doing back? What, you don't send a letter? You don't let me know when you're gonna be back? You make me look like a horrible steward. I didn't even have this place prepared.
I'm just gonna push past him toward wherever it is that Egil sleeps.
Great to see you too. Okay. I'm assuming Eagle makes his way upstairs to his bedroom and just kind of guts the door.
Are there snacks?
I think so. I mean, we could wake Jacques and have him rustle something up for you.
No. Don't wake him.
Okay. He nudges his way into the kitchen and comes back out with an apple for you, and it's just kind of like that. Dad, this is all I could find that's accessible right now.
Not sliced? I leave to my room.
Again, if I had known you were coming.
So demanding.
Did you realize we had to announce ourselves at our own home?
This is what rich people who own property and staff do, Zoe.
Yeah. But
it is inconsiderate.
We're missing the part that we're not rich. We're just people who own property.
You own property in the 1850s. That makes you rich.
No, we're house poor. We have no money. We just have house.
We just have the house.
All right.
Even then, I think it's just putting our name for tax evasion purposes.
That does seem about right.
Because there's no reason for us to own this house.
So you wake up the next morning, and the snow has kind of continued to fall because it is going on into November now at this point. And you look out the window onto an area. So around the inn is fairly wooded. Obviously, though, as winter has started to take hold, all of the leaves have fallen off the trees. It snowed a little bit, so there's probably about an inch or two of snow on the ground, and you look out over the river, which the inn kind of sits right near, and you see that it is frozen over. And it's a kind of cold, crisp, clear day. You smell coffee being brewed downstairs, maybe the smell of some fresh pastries or something. Fresh bread.
For coffee and pastries.
You go downstairs, and I'm assuming you go into the kitchen. And there is Jacques, and he goes, "Ah, Mademoiselle Ingrid! How was your trip?"
Oh, it was great. I found a building. It was missing. I start stuffing my face with pastries.
Oh, I never understand you English. It's such weird things.
We're not English.
Frisk kind of walks in, and he's got a book under his arm, and he kind of pulls it out and flips to a page, and he's writing notes, and he's just kind of like, well,
is that
yeah.
Diary? I
mean, no, this is my book that I use to keep track of the house and everything that needs doing.
Frisk has a diary.
Brought it because I needed to talk to you guys about, you know, some ideas I have for this place. You know, for the moment, that's kind of, I guess, where we're gonna kind of end it, if we want. Because, now that we've done another scenario, essentially, we can do some more upgrading of the house and of things.
House upgrade!
So, before we get into that, thank you to the two of you, and thank you to the people who have suffered through watching us do this. Thank you for enjoying, hopefully you've enjoyed our foray into Vaisen, 8 episodes, and a little bit of some Canadiana, which I've had some fun writing. Yeah, what do you guys think? Thoughts? Reactions?
Certainly had fun experiencing them.
A little disappointed that Mike didn't let me burn down the forest, but
well, life is full.
You win some, you lose some.
Maybe we'll get lucky and we'll go back to Mothership next, and you can burn down a whole planet.
Yeah, down the planet.
Are you sure we don't need to talk to your therapist?
Yeah, don't call her. It's fine.
All right. So, for completing the mystery, we now get to the questions for development points. Did you play at least one scene at the headquarters? I mean, technically we just did at the end, so. Sure, why not?
I'll take it.
That's a point. Did you encounter a new type of Vaisen?
No.
Over the whole mystery, yes you did.
Oh, the whole mystery, yes.
Yeah, that's for the whole mystery. Did you visit a place of magic?
Yeah, the forest.
I would say so.
Okay, sure, I'll give you that one. Were you subjected to magic?
I wasn't.
I don't know. Oh, wait, yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Yep, I would say you guys were. Did you bring occult books or other important items back to headquarters?
We brought a pamphlet about an occult book. Does that count?
Then maybe if we rewrite a bit and say that, what are you gonna give the pamphlet to Algo and have him go find the book for you?
To go buy that book for
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That is not an Egil thing to do.
Then the postscript of this is Egil somehow tries to go and find a copy of this book. He finds one. Takes a while.
That doesn't feel like Egil either.
Oh, I feel like Frisk probably goes through our rooms when we're sleeping and finds it and then procures this book and puts it in
doesn't.
The library.
No, he doesn't. Not on
He's
his
all freak and I know it.
Jesus. So fine. Then for the moment, no. You do not get a development point for that. Did you make important contact?
Yeah.
Who?
Jago.
Well, yeah. And I think DeFago was pretty important.
Oh,
and...
you know who we made as a contact? John Ghoul.
There you go. Pretty good one.
Pretty important. I feel like he's going to circle back.
I think he'll turn up again.
Circle back. Okay.
Circle.
Was the mystery particularly difficult and epic?
I mean, I think so.
Great. Well, I'm glad the two of you agree. You don't need to be such big liars about it, but thank you. And then finally, did you solve the mystery?
We watched a giant thing in the sky eat a bobcat and then come after us.
Yes.
That's pretty, it doesn't get more epic than that. That's like a Cthulhu-esque level creature.
And we solved the mystery. We found the mine.
We did find the mine.
We found out what
the mystery was. Mine went missing.
You're right. The answer to that then would be find the mine. I can't argue with that. All right. So now with that, how many Belton points does that mean you guys have now?
That was six by my count. Seven.
Was it six? I got seven.
How many did you have from before?
It was seven. I thought we used them all before.
Yeah.
Or am I mistaken?
Yeah, the only one you didn't get was you didn't bring a book back. Okay. Are there any types of buildings that you particularly want?
There's so many options. Let me bring the options back up here.
Well, then maybe this is something we don't need to do on stream.
Address next time while we read through the rule books.
Yes, of course. Also, I know we've done it for a little while, but don't forget to do the questions to get your own points for your XP boosts. They did bring back the bookmark, Hillary, but I'm not giving them the development point for that being an occult item. Because they didn't actually
procure the book. Purchase the book to get the point for that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Zoe. Was I supposed to just insert a random book into the middle of the fucking forest for you guys to, take back?
He had a book. He was using that thing as a bookmark.
Yes. Because the book was about poetry. Oh, I'm sorry. So the dude who,
Zoe could have asked Algo to go and get the book,
yes!
too.
Or Jacques. Your boyfriend could have gotten the book for you.
Jacques would have gotten the book for you.
I'm not sending him a little air.
You could have gone and got the book. I can see Ingrid reading a book. I can't see Eagle reading a book.
No, Hillary, it was not occult poetry.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It's got to be... Who's the... It's got to be something like...
Got to be occult poetry now.
Oh, I'd assumed it was self...
self-help.
Like DeFago's poetry. He was writing his own poetry out there.
This is diary.
Oh, that might be evidence.
Well, too bad we burned it in the canoe with him.
Oh, that's too late. Never mind, I can't use that one. No, it's gotta be... It would have had to have been a book of, really sappy poetry. Somebody like Lord Byron or something. But I don't... I'm not scholarly enough to know, what poetry
was quick,
written.
Cody, who's your favorite 19th century romantic poet?
Not up, Mike. Oh my god. I could go on for hours about it if I had to, and why it's... why it is... I don't like Lord Byron, actually. I'm gonna go with that one. Maybe I'll make him It could have been, no, he wouldn't have been a guy to read, like, ancient poetry, so it wouldn't have been, like, Virgil or, like, any of the freaking classical stuff. Shelley? Oh, we could use, we could use Percy Shelley. Got some poetry that would work. Cool. And there we go. We've made a decision. So I guess, Mike, Zoe, is there anything else you want to go through, or should we just kind of close it off there?
Well, I think I'm content there.
Yeah. We save the city.
The downtime will improve the inn and come back next time even stronger.
Yeah.
Ready to kill a Wendigo.
So thanks, everybody.
Look for our friend Ghoul.
For hanging out with us, listening to the end of our little session here of Vazen. I have been your Game Master, Cody. It has been a wild couple of months of sessions to get to this point. On behalf of, you know, Mike, Zoe, and Chris, again, I want to say thank you for those of you who have watched through this. We'll be back next week with something surprising for the holidays. I have ideas. It's gonna be fun. On behalf of all of us, thanks guys, and until next week, bye.